All right, I'll call our TAC meeting to order. Typically, our first action item will be approval of the agenda. Though we don't have enough for a quorum, I believe we can move forward with the current agenda and the action item set out. Our first action item would be approval of the CAC meeting minutes. We can review them, and we'll just vote on them in the upcoming meeting in January. Yes?
It would be in February. Then actually, February. Mr. Abbott just came in, so now we can vote.
Oh,
good morning, sir.
So we do have a quorum now.
Yes.
Perfect timing. Okay. Well, once Mr. Abbott gets settled in, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Is that right? Okay. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Awesome. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
And none opposed. The motion passes and the agenda is approved. First action item, approval of the October 19th CAC meeting minutes. Do we have a motion on the floor?
I never got them. They're usually mailed to me.
Maybe we can bring them up. And
if you want to give me a copy, I'll review them, and you can move that agenda to later in the light item later in the agenda.
Okay, yes.
I brought up the minutes on the screen. Okay. But we will print a copy for Tony. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, if we're not ready yet, then yes, we can move that item down to number 4 on our action items, and we can come back to that.
Let me ask you this, if I could. I saw the attendance, I guess, spreadsheet. Does an X mean you weren't there?
No, X means you were there.
Was I not there for that meeting?
Present.
I guess I wasn't.
October?
I thought I was.
I thought that there were only like 3 people.
Me and Mr. Armand.
Daniel. Dr. Brentley, Armand.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about that. I must have missed it. And therefore, I hate to say it, but I'm not qualified to vote on the minutes because I wasn't there.
Right. Okay, we can move that to our February agenda then.
Okay,
that works. All right, thank you, Mr. Abbott.
Yes, sir.
Next on our agenda is the Core MPO 2024 meeting calendar. The staff have any comments on it?
Okay, I just want to mention, because we are still working on the MOUs and the bylaws, we were expecting to have the property MOU adopted in February or April, and then the bylaws adopted in June. So that means CAC will continue to meet until like February, April, and June. And then after that, we will have the consolidated committee So we will decide on the meeting dates on those later. But as of now, you will continue to meet. So on February 15th and April 18th and June 20th. And then the consolidated meeting. So after that, we will decide whether it will be bi-monthly meetings or quarterly meetings and specific date and time to be determined.
Gotcha. Does our, yes.
Hi. For the combined, I know we talked on it, talked about it. But do we have to do like another approval before, or is it just not finalized and then we'll just get that update schedule on how we're moving?
The MPO board has to adopt the MOU and the bylaws.
Gotcha.
And then we will forward everything to GDOT and then the governor's office because we're making changes to the bylaws, so we have to be redesignated.
Okay, gotcha.
So nothing will be official until after June. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Are there any more questions for staff?
You are just endorsing the CEC portion of the agenda, the CEC portion of the calendar. So.
Is that an action item?
Yes, an action item. Yeah.
All right. I make a motion that we endorse this.
Thank you. A motion has been made. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. With no discussion, all in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Hearing none opposed, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving down our agenda to item number 3, adoption of the 2024 highway safety targets, and staff has a presentation.
Yes, GDOT sent us the highway performance targets, and we have until we have 180 days after GDOT adoption of these targets to either adopt the GDOT targets or set our own. And the highway safety PM1 targets are adopted annually. GDOT adopted theirs at the end of August. So these would be the new targets for 2024, calendar year 2024. So the number of fatalities, it will be now maintain the fatalities under the projected 1,680. That's the rolling average. So by the end of 2024, because TCC raised the question, and so by 2024, it's actually by the end of 2024. So it's like January to December. And the number of serious injuries, we want to maintain the numbers under 8966. And for the fatality rate, we want to maintain, we target to the numbers to be below 1.36, and that's per 100 million vehicle miles traveled. And then the serious injury rate, we want to keep that under 7.679. And for the total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries, we want to have the number below 802. So this is based on the 2020 to 2024 rolling average. So these are the numbers. So we normally just adopt the GDOT numbers. We don't create our own because we don't have the staff to go to the field and collect the data. So we will endorse these numbers. We recommend the CEC to endorse these numbers to the CORMPU board.
This is statewide, Lakota?
Yeah, this is statewide. Okay. Yes.
And Lakota, just to be clear, these numbers are basically the same as last year. They haven't.
I have to do some comparison. It might be lower than last year because I suppose these are like safety targets. So you want to actually keep it down, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I hope, but I would do some comparison later. But I think it might be down.
Do we have any other questions for staff?
I have a question. So towards the end of 2024, most likely 2025, does GDOT send a summary of how we are effectively hitting the targets or not effectively hitting the targets? Does that usually come down?
Yeah, they probably collect the data. Okay. Yeah, by the end of 2024, and they collect all the data, and then they do the comparison and they set the targets for the new year. So if it's a high, and they probably will set the new targets higher. But if it's low, they will probably try to keep it lower.
Gotcha. Okay.
If possible, it would be awesome to see the 2023 final numbers.
I would do the comparison afterwards. Yeah, but I can bring up the numbers now, but I would rather just, I would do the comparison later.
Sure.
Yeah, cause we already have the system performance report online, which lists all of the current 2023 numbers. So we will see, we will do a comparison.
Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I motion to approve this item.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor of endorsing this item, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Hearing none opposed, the motion passes. Thank you so much. Moving to item number 4, functional classification National Highway System change request for Jimmy DeLoach Parkway extension.
Okay. I actually, TCC had several questions. I have already followed up with the GDOT personnel and GDOT staff who is working on this. So basically, Jimmy DeLoach Parkway extension, there were two projects. So one is Jimmy DeLoach Parkway extension from US 80 to I-16. And another portion is this interchange over here, the Jimmy DeLoach extension at US 80 interchange. So GDOT is proposing this newly constructed segment between US 80 and the Pine Barren Road to be added to the National Highway System network, because this portion underneath it between Pine Barren Road and I-16 is already on the National Highway System. So they would rather add this newly constructed portion to the National Highway System as well, so they can be consistent. And another request is currently this segment between Pine Barren Road and I-16 is minor arterial, and GDOT would like to classify it as a principal arterial. And then this newly segment, the newly constructed segment currently doesn't have functional classification because it's new. So GDOT would like to classify that as principal arterial because Jimmy DeLoach Parkway is a major freight corridor. So GDOT think the traffic counts, the AADT actually qualified them into principal arterial. So that's their proposal. Add this segment to the National Highway System and then classify both segments as principal arterial. Mm-hmm. So they're asking for our endorsement and approval.
I might add that where it intersects with 80, there's a big interchange there. Isn't that the Sonny Dixon interchange?
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
It's the Sonny Dixon. Okay.
It's a big interchange.
Yeah, it's a new interchange. Yeah.
It should be classified like that.
Yeah, because the Jimmy, it's basically it's a freeway, right? There's no, it has no like at grade anything like per. Don't know what I'm thinking. It has no lights or stop sign interchanges, does it? Really,
I only traveled it, on it once, so
I don't think it does.
Okay. Are there traffic lights over here at the Pine Barren Road?
Are there what?
Traffic lights? I don't know. Yeah, because it's like a major truck route. So yeah, I actually agree with them that
it is.
Should be a principal arterial. Yeah.
Because it's supposed to take traffic off of 21, right? Like take the big truck traffic and kind of.
Well, actually, 21 connects to Jimmy DeLoach Parkway, so you make a left turn from 21, and so that will carry you all the way to I-16.
I'm sorry, I don't know that end of the county that well. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's intersect with State Route 21. State Route 21 is northwest to southeast, I think. Yeah, this one is north to south. So we will ask of the CEC's endorsement to the MPO board to accept the changes.
Are there any more questions for staff?
No.
Hearing none, is there a motion to endorse?
I move. So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Awesome. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving on to status reports. First is core MPO MOU fee structure and bylaws updates.
We have been doing the MOU and bylaws update since the beginning of this year, the boundary, and we adopted the boundary in June, and we updated the MOU and the bylaws. The MOU part, the only portion that is not done is the fee structure, which is Appendix B, but it's related to the bylaws update because we are proposing to have elections on the MPO board. So the Chatham County chairman cannot always be the chairman, and City of Savannah mayor cannot always be the vice chair. So we want to have some kind of election, but the Chatham County chairman actually is opposing that. But he said, currently the Chatham County chairman serving as the MPO board chair, Chatham County pays 25% of the municipality's share of the membership dues. But he said if he cannot be the chair, that the county is not going to pay that 25%. So he directed us to send a letter to all the jurisdictions and asking their input. So would you willing to pay more so that you can have election, or you would rather have the county pay more and the county keep on being the chairman? So we prepared the letter. And another thing is the CAT actually wanted to pay less than the Georgia Ports Authority, because CAT doesn't, the Georgia Ports Authority have, it's much, much richer. So CAT doesn't have the fiscal capability. So we proposed to use the 60th percentile for CAT and then 70th percentile for GPA and the airport. So we actually prepared the letter. So that's a follow up to the November Cornfield board meeting. And we actually sent the letter out to all the new members and the current members, and to asking for their input, because we would like to know from Chatham County municipalities, are you okay with this paying or not paying? And then Effingham County and Bryan County, they need to decide how to split their fair share. Like Bryan County and the Richmond Hill, they decided to pay based on their population percentage. But what about Pembroke? So we don't know. So we want their input. Effingham County decides they will pay for all of the municipalities. So we actually sent the letter out yesterday to the MPO board and new members. So you can see the letter is attached over here. And then we also attach the information based on the calculation of the dues. So for example, based on the 60th percentile, CAT will pay $19,000, but the GPA and Savannah Airport will pay $34,000. And this is like Chatham County pays 25%. This is how much, for example, City of Savannah will pay 54. But if county doesn't pay, City of Savannah will pay $72,000. So it's like $18,000 difference. But are you willing to pay the additional $18,000 to have an election? So we were just proposing all of this information to the members so that they can decide. So after we get information, and then we will finalize the fee structure in the MOU, and hopefully we will have the MOU adopted in February. And then by that time, we can send the MOU to all the members for signature. So this is just an information report to you, just to let you know that we are still working on this, because we planned to have the MOU adopted in December, but it didn't work out because of all this, like, politics. But we are hoping to probably have the MOU adopted in February, no later than June. And then we will still continue to work with you. Probably still we try to schedule a meeting with you to talk about the consolidated CEC and ACAT, but that hasn't worked out. So we will continue to work on that. Hopefully we will have the bylaws updated or adopted by the MPU board in June. That's it. Any questions?
Members have until, I believe it was January 19th to sort of make a decision, correct?
Well, we want them to send us their feedback, like Bryan County, are you going to pay for Pembroke's share or something? So we will, because we need to include that, the final language into the Appendix B, the funding agreement. So they need to send us their feedback by January the 19th. So that we can finalize everything for the February adoption of the MOU.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Thank you. We can move on to item number 6, the 2050 MTP update.
Okay. We did advertise this meeting as a public meeting. So I will just talk about the short staff report, and then Aisha is going to do the presentation for the public meeting. So since November 1st, we completed the 2050 socioeconomic data development, and GDOT and consultants have accepted the data. So that we use the data for the travel demand model. And we completed the Cornfield Regional Free Transportation Plan Urban Planning Model Study, US 80 Corridor Study. And all of the deliverables, final deliverables, are posted online on the Cornfield website. And the CAT finished their master transit plan and transit development plan, and it's also posted on the CAT website. And we also started to work on the resiliency planning. So we're going to use the Federal Highways VAST 2, and we already compiled a VAST team to do the analysis. And then we started the public engagement, and so we attended the community events, and we did a presentation, and we advertised for this public meeting. And we also presented for the financial plan development, we presented the inflation factors and cost estimating too. And so we will, next step will be for the project prioritization, because we haven't received the revenues, but at least we can do the project prioritization for now. And I also want to show you this matrix that we have already compiled. So you can see this is the project list. We already have a lot of these projects to select from. And then you can see. So you can see the columns. So these are the recommendations from the Coastal Empire Study, Richmond Hills plans, and Bryan County's plans, FAM County's plans, and then also our corridor studies, and then the current long range transportation plan and our freight plan. And then we're working on the CMP congestion management process, and it will be another column. And then when GDOT developed the travel demand models, that will be another column. So if one of the projects like get checked by many of these, and that will be the first round of prioritization. And then we will have the second round based on like crash rates, on congestion and all of that. So we will present that to you later, but we will start to work on that. We'll work on this prioritization in January. So now I will just refer to Aisha to give the presentation for the public meeting.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'll just open that attachment. Here it is. Okay, I'll be giving a presentation on the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, also called the Moving Forward Together 2050 Plan. So we're just going to go into who we are as CORMPO, what is the MTP and why it's important, the role of public outreach in this process, and some of the community engagement we've been doing, and then also some contact information and next steps. So The core MPO is also known as the Coastal Region Metropolitan Planning Organization, and we manage the planning and funding of transportation projects in the Savannah area. And our planning area includes Chatham County and portions of Bryan County and Effingham County. So we're also federally mandated to facilitate collaboration between agencies, be them federal, state, local, or and we do this to address transportation needs and priorities within the area. So what is the Metropolitan Transportation Plan? So it is a long-range transportation plan. Ours specifically covers the next 25 years, and it does some important things. So it sets the region's transportation system investment policies and priorities, projects regional needs for the next 20 years. It links regional land use, development, housing, employment, and employment with our transportation plans. And it also aligns with the statewide transportation plan. It's also good to remember that this plan impacts funding and transportation priorities and goals. And it is a multimodal plan in nature that emphasizes the efficient use of the existing transportation system and preserving that transportation system. And one of the major results of this plan is a fiscally constrained prioritized list of projects. So why is this plan important? Again, it's important because it impacts planning and transportation investments for the next 25 years. It also helps us assess transportation goals, needs, and priorities, and it also gives the public a chance to have their say in their future. And again, transportation access is vitally important in creating an equitable society. So that's just another layer of why this transportation plan is so important, because it is necessary to have a transportation system that works for everyone. So again, this plan is multimodal, meaning it involves multiple modes of transportation. And so that includes highway improvements, freight, transit, and bicycle and pedestrian improvements. And the way that works is that these other smaller plans, such as the non-motorized transportation plan, directly feed into the metropolitan transportation plan. We also include other considerations, such as environmental considerations, into the development of this plan as well. And that also includes how we build the project list. So not only is the overall plan multimodal, but our project list is multimodal. And so we include projects from, for example, our regional freight plan, our non-motorized plan, and our congestion management process, just to name a few places where we source the projects that go into this plan. And then importantly, the projects in the previous plan, such as the 2045 MTP, they don't just get left in the past, they are brought into the new updated 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So how does public input factor into this? So one reason why public involvement is important is because it impacts project prioritization. So public opinion lets us know the needs and wants of the community, and the input we receive from surveys, public outreach events, and citizens reaching out directly to us is used to determine which transportation developments should be prioritized. For example, if many locals express concerns about resilience, when we score and prioritize that project list, projects that improve resilience will receive higher scores. Public input also impacts funding allocation as well. So public input determines the funding allocation during the transportation planning financial process. So if we see that there's an increased interest in walkability, for example, we can decide to increase the budget share of revenues designated for sidewalks and crosswalks. And lastly, public input helps us pinpoint or confirm transportation needs and improvements. So the public gives us a clear picture of what is needed in the area. Since we plan for such a large area, including all of Chatham and then portions of surrounding counties, the public actually gives us a more precise idea of where transportation developments are necessary. Public input also helps us confirm the findings from technical analysis. So they're kind of our eyes and ears on the ground in the entire planning area, which is rather large. So in terms of where we are in this process, we are in round two of public engagement of three rounds. And that third round will be in spring of 2023. But I'm going to get into the public engagement that we've done so far. So we've gone out into the community doing community events and also some virtual and online public outreach activities. And so that includes our social media page, pages such as our Instagram and our Facebook, and then also our website as well, where we post updates to our planning process for people to review. We also have a public survey, which is still ongoing, but it has been live since September 1st of 2022, and we've received over 400 responses on that. And it was also made available in four languages. And so some of those survey topics include roadways, bikes, pedestrians, public transit, equity, and resilience. And so while the survey is still open, we still wanted to go into some of the highlights that we've seen from the survey. For one, respondents want to maintain and repair our roadways, infrastructure, and facilities. So there seemed to be a big emphasis on maintaining what we already have in comparison to maybe expanding outward. Additionally, respondents want to improve our roadways, but there's also heavy interest in passenger rail, improving pedestrian infrastructure, and expanding our public transportation. So even though the most popular response on the survey question in particular was specifically about improving roadways, not far behind it, people are also interested in improving other modes of transportation. So this is just a snapshot of some of our social media posts and our websites. This is how we're trying to get the word out about our survey and some of our links. Here you can see all the languages that the survey is available in. It's available in English, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. And it is still open. So if you would like to share this survey to anyone so they can give their input, it's still open and you can still submit a response. So how can people get involved in this process? So one, they can take the survey or use the comment map survey, which we'll have a link to in this presentation. They can also follow us on social media, attend public meetings such as this or when we go out into the community. They can call and email us, and they can also visit our website. And the links to all of these will be in this presentation as well. So in terms of next steps, we're going to continue public outreach. Again, we have a third round of public outreach that is going to happen in spring of 2024, so that's coming pretty soon. We're also going to build the project list and financial plan. We're going to revise the project scoring methodology to include resilience, equity, and housing. And we're going to develop the draft 2050 MTP document. So we are planning to adopt the 2050 MTP in August of 2023. And then from there, we're going to feed the public input that we received from this process into our other core MPO plans. And so here's some of our contact information. So you can stay in touch with us. We have the phone number to Wycota's office and also her email. And this is our Instagram page, Coastal Region MPO. We also have a Facebook called Core MPO. And then this is also the link to the Core MPO's Metropolitan Transportation Plan page. And then this is just the final page of more contact information if you're interested in this plan. So that's the end of this presentation. Are there any questions?
I had one question. Well, first, congrats on the over 400 responses. That's awesome.
Thank you.
For the third round of public outreach, are there any specific plans as far as what that will include that wasn't included in the first or second round?
Gonna have Wycota answer that.
Okay, the final round will be presenting the plan, the presenting the project lists from the plan. So this is when you will see what the project are listed and what their prioritizations are and what the costs are.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for staff?
I have one. Has there been good feedback from the first outreach going into the communities about the plan?
Yeah, usually people are pretty interested in what we do. When we go out in the community, people don't really know what an MPO is, but they're interested in the work that we do here. And so they usually have a lot to say and everything and are happy that people are coming out to talk to them.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I think both the first round and the second round is like the community events would be where we get the most of the input. And for example, we went to the deafing, the second round, we went to the park and then people actually ask questions about their specific locations. So for example, what they were asking, cause the De Lesseps Avenue is under construction right there. So they want to know when that will be completed and the Tumalinia Park Trail phase 2B, when that will be completed because they think that will increase their property tax. Property value. So it's like if you go to certain neighborhoods, they actually, I think the west side, they, cause we noticed that there are no sidewalks. And so, on old Louisville Road. So they are very specific about their area because they are more familiar with their own areas. So that's pretty good information that we get. And also every time we do a presentation, for example, the Coastal Georgia Indicator, we receive some survey responses and the first round of meetings, like they came in tens and twenties, but now as they're coming, like every couple of days, we got one. Or after meeting, there were a couple of two or something. So yeah, they continue to come.
Are there any further questions for staff on this item?
No.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to item number 7, the non-motorized transportation plan status report.
I'll be giving that status report as well. So staff is continuing to work on the non-motorized transportation plan, which addresses the development of bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the core MPO planning area. So one of the goals of this plan is to compile a list of pedestrian and bike projects that can be incorporated into the Metropolitan Transportation Plan and eventually be prioritized and programmed for implementation. So current activities related to updating that project list includes communicating with local governments, agencies, and organizations so they can tell us what types of projects they want to include on that list. We also researched plans from local governments, such as their own comprehensive plans and development plans to see if there were any projects hiding within those plans. We also are analyzing findings from large data sets such as New Metric, Strava, and the American Community Survey to help with making those project suggestions and recommendations. We're also reviewing public input such as when people actually contact us and tell us what they need or our survey or our map survey. And we're also using those resources to make project recommendations. And then we're also reviewing recommendations from local transportation studies that we also have going on. So examples of where we're sourcing these projects will be shown in the following pages. But I do want to say that this project list is projected to be completed in February 2024, so it's coming up pretty soon. And the entire plan, non-motorized transportation plan, is projected to be adopted in June of 2024. So far in this process, we've identified 89 new projects to add to this project list. This is already a list of, I think, 400 projects from the previous plan, so it's going to be a pretty big list of projects. And this just shows some of where we're sourcing these projects, such as the Bloomingdale Growth Plan had a few projects that we added to the plan. This is from the Effingham County's Joint Comprehensive Plan that identified Highway 119 as a place that they want to expand bike access. We also have Strava Metro's pedestrian volume data, and that just shows us where people are walking the most. And then the American Community Survey has really great data by Census Tract showing us the census tracts where a lot of people are, say, walking to work, biking to work, or taking public transportation to work. So those are just a few of the resources that we're using to update this project list. Are there any questions? All right.
Thank you. We can move on to item number 8, CMP status update.
The CMP update is continuing, and we got the data, we analyzed the data and drafting the chapters, and we hope to have the draft for internal review at the beginning of January, and then have the updated the draft for TCC review probably in February.
Any questions for staff on the CMP status update?
Nope.
All right, thank you. Item number 9, draft FY 2025 UPWP.
Okay, the Unified Planning Work Program is the staff budget for fiscal year 2025, which starts July 1st of next year, ends on June 30th, 2025. So I just want to let you know that we're focusing on several major tasks. Of course, the 2050 plan adoption and finalization will be a major task for us. So we were targeting to have the 2050 plan adopted on August the 7th of next year. And then after that, we probably will finalize all the chapters and have a graphic-driven executive summary, and also need to translate the executive summary into 4 languages, Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Korean, and because of the Hyundai plan. So we probably have to translate into the Korean as well. And we are also maintaining and updating our TIP to make sure that federal dollars will continue to flow to our area. And then we will also continue to adopt the performance targets as they come in. And then another major undertaking is the federal certification review, because we get certified by Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration every 4 years. So they probably will conduct like desk review and then also have like in-person interview with us. And so we expect that to happen probably January to February or January to March of next year. So that will be undertaking. We will have to prepare a lot of documents. And then we will continue to monitor the IIJA or BIL, because there are a lot of funding opportunities, no fault. So we will work with our MPO members to apply for the funds and to make sure that we get some of those for project implementation. So these would be the major work tasks that we would do for the fiscal year 2025. And our budget, I was just going to show a little bit, it's about $790,000, and this is just to pay for the staff salary and expenses and equipment. So administration, as you can see, and administration mostly, that will cover all the meetings, and then the federal certification review, and then the system planning and operations that will cover the 2050 MTP update, non-motorized transportation plan, and then the TIP. On data collection, so we continue to monitor the development, so review traffic impact analysis, public involvement like CEC will be included in that. So transit planning, we will continue to work with CAT on the items. So the staff budget is about $790,000. And then we also list some other studies that are ongoing for information. For example, CAT, we budgeted some money for the remix, the route scheduling software, and then CAT is to continue in doing the AOPP and the ARP funded studies, route restoration and the poverty reduction program studies. And then in 2024, probably January or early next year, several studies will kick off. I-16X ramp removal IMR update. City of Savannah is the project, local project sponsor, but GDOT is taking the lead on this one to update the IMR report. And the Chatham County is doing three studies, US 17 corridor study, DR204 access study, and the President Street Railroad Crossing Elimination Study. So the MPO staff, because we secured the funds for them. So we wouldn't be the project manager, but we would be the coordinator. So we probably will help them to review the deliverables and all of that. And also after we adopt the 2050 plan, the staff will be available to probably conduct the special studies. So we currently we listed several unfunded studies in the UPWP, and we will probably apply for funds for them. And if we get the funds, and we will probably start the RFP process. So those would be the regional truck parking study. This is the recommendation from the fleet plan. And then we want to develop the resilience improvement plan. Because if we have a resilience improvement plan, that means if we use the protective funds for our future projects, we don't have to pay 20% local match. We only need to pay 10% local match. And then another study that I want to do is the urban flooding model study, because you have been presented a phase one that's covered current MPO boundary. So the phase two, you know, we expanded our boundary to Bryan County, Effingham County, so that we cover the extended areas. And also, Chatham County might pursue the Islands Expressway study as well. And this Old River Road operational and improvements might be between Chatham County and Effingham County, but after TCC meeting, I just followed up with both of them. So if we have already identified Old River Road improvement project, we probably don't need a study. So this information might be reevaluated. So we might have a project included in the 2050 plan and then in the TIP later. So we don't need this one. So CAT also has several, they are also reevaluating these studies, whether they are still going to pursue this transit oriented development study or bus stop amenities and mobility hub study and bus rapid transit. And there's another study that the Effingham County wants to do, which is the US 80 corridor study, because Pooler did the study for the portion within Chatham County. But now we're expanding our boundary into Effingham County. They want to do a study. So that will be from the county line all the way to US 280. That they want to do that one. And then also we will have the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and they want to do something. And then in coordination with the Georgia Indicators, Coalition's Indicators, so they want to pursue a bike path study just to do like evaluate the inventory of the sidewalks, the crosswalks, their conditions, something like that. So they're still working on the scope for that. So those would be the study that we want to pursue. If we get the funds, and we will probably start RFP process. So now this is the preliminary draft, and after next Wednesday we get the input, and we will send the draft to FHW and GDOT for review, and then we will bring the revised document after incorporating their comments to all of the committees, including CEC, for review and endorsement adoption in February. Any questions on that?
Hearing none, thank you.
Okay.
Item number 10, the 2020 Census Urban Area Boundary Adjustment for Savannah.
Okay, this item is, this is a GDOT request. So after each census, the state DOTs and MPOs have to update the functional roadway functional classifications. And before you do that, you have to define the urban areas and the rural areas. So you use the census defined urban area, which is this pink area in this map, and adjust it a little bit, basically just to smooth out the boundary. So that will be the urban area, adjusted urban area for the functional classification. So outside of this area, all the roadways will be classified as rural. And then within this boundary, the classification will be urban. So this is the adjusted urban area for functional, for roadway functional classification compared with the Quorum Peel boundary, the new Quorum Peel boundary. You can see within this would be urban roadways, and then outside of that will be rural urban, rural roadways. So this is the like three county map you can see. So within this yellow area, that will be all these roadways will be urban, classified as urban. So this time the adjusted urban areas are smaller than the 2015 update. That's because the census redefined the urban area. So the criteria for urban area delineation is different. So the urban area becomes shrank a little bit. But GDOT indicated that it's actually more expensive to maintain the urban sections of the roadways. So if the roadways are classified as rural, so they probably will spend less money on the maintenance. So this is just for information because we just agreed with GDOT with their methodology because this makes sense. So just to present it to you for information purposes. Any questions?
No, I think you answered my question. I was going to ask, Tybee's fairly developed. Why is it not considered urban? But that if it's cheaper to maintain roads in a rural.
Tybee is rural.
Classification, yeah.
Yeah, Tybee is rural.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that basically is because of the distance between this Wilmington Island to Tybee, because the way the census defines the urban area, so you have a core, you have a core urban area, and you have the distance to jump to or hop to. So previously, I think the jump distance is 0.5 miles and hop distance of 1 mile or something, they reduce it this time.
So it kind of all has to be contiguous.
It has to be contiguous. Yes. Yes. That's right. So Tybee has always had the like rural status, even if they can be classified as a small urban area, but the census constantly
changes. Far out from the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not contiguous. Yes. That's right.
Are there any other questions for staff? All right, thank you. That was our last item on the status report. Of course, our agency reports are listed on the agenda under notices. Please feel free to review those and let staff know if you have any questions. Our next core MPO CAC meeting is February 15th at 5:30 p.m. I apologize for not being able to be there in person, but thank you to the committee and staff. With that, we can adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.